Welcome to the Avenging Hour. I'm Jason.
I'm John. I love the way you do that. Like, you think you can surprise me.
I'm staring at you.
Like, I'm not sitting here waiting to do a podcast. You're like...
One of these days, I'm just going to come running into the room with the recorder in my hand.
This is attack journalism that you're engaging in.
I'll show up here at the mansion and I'll hide under the desk. And when you come into the room, I'll pop out and be like, "Ah, welcome to the Avenging Hour!"
My gosh, I would scream so loud.
You ready to start singing some Thanksgiving carols?
I love my Thanksgiving carols.
It's the next season we're into, right? Got all our Thanksgiving decorations up.
Oh, yeah. I put up the Thanksgiving tree just the other day.
We're going to go get all of our Thanksgiving presents.
Mm-hmm.
To put in the turkey sack that we hang by the fireplace.
The turkey sack. So, I have a question for you.
Oh, right. We do that now.
We try. But I keep thinking of questions and then I'm going, well, this can be cut. And I'm like, wait a minute. I think we asked that already. So, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who's your favorite Avengers penciler? Who's penciled the Avengers? Because now you don't care about pencilers.
I don't care about pencilers.
So who do you like the most? Which penciler of the Avengers whose work do you enjoy the most?
Well, I guess ultimately I'd have to say John Buscema, right? Because he did my favorite storyline that we will get to in about 6 years. Not our time.
Well, who knows? We'll have the Avengers West Coast in there. It'll take a while, but...
We seem to do about a year every couple of months here, so...
Well, that's because we're only doing one title. Once we start doing multiple titles, that's going to slow down.
And doesn't that other title show up right around that same time as that story?
A little before that, I think. Is it? No, I guess it is right around that same time, yeah.
We're not that far off from it.
No, we really aren't.
Yeah, I mean, I like George Perez's stuff, too. I don't really have a favorite.
I mean, I'd ask you who your favorite writer is, but we know that.
Roger Stern.
What besides Roger Stern, who's your second favorite writer?
Of the Avengers?
Yeah.
Oh, it would have to be Shooter.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he kind of came in here and grabbed the reins and kind of made it his own. Wait, was that it? That was the question and answer?
Yeah, do you want more?
Nope, let's move on. Previously on the Avenging Hour, we were all set to really dig into the depths of the Korvac saga, only to be sidetracked by Jocasta and Ultron, a convent full of robot nuns, Scarlet Witch trapped in a glass case of emotions, and more heroes disappearing into thin air. But I'm sure it'll all work itself out this week, right?
Right.
And now, episode 76.
Oh, is that a rhetorical right?
Sure.
It's on you.
Three of them today.
We're going to roll through them.
I have to do two of them, don't I?
You sure do.
Oh, dang it. Issue 172, June 1978. Jim Shooter, Sal Buscema, and Klaus Janson. I only list them because they didn't actually say art by. It was like, these guys did the art. I mean, we know Klaus Janson's the inker. Whatever. And this issue is called, inappropriately, Holocaust in New York Harbor.
Yes, thank you.
Hawkeye's home, and everyone is there to greet him, with arms wide open and big smiles on their, the mansion looks deserted. Oh, I get it. It must be like a surprise party. They're obviously just hiding behind the draperies. Wanda probably hexed them somehow. As Hawkeye goes off in search of anyone who cares, Henry Peter Gyrick shows up on the front steps and finds the door wide open. Ugh, not this again. Meanwhile, back at the convent, the team is staring at the deactivated shell of Ultron when Beast notices that Jocasta and Captain America have both been blinked away. Unfortunately, they don't have time to fight amongst themselves over the mystery because a real nun shows up and kicks them out. As the team flies home, we learn that they just left Ultron lying there in a heap. I'm sure he'll be fine, right? Back at the mansion, the team arrives to find Hawkeye whipping up some lunch in the kitchen. After they lie to him and tell him it's great to have him back, Hawkeye reveals that he caught a red-haired, briefcase-toting intruder and tied him up in the study. Everyone freaks out and rushes to release Gyrick, but the damage is already done. The Avengers' priority status has been revoked. The team no longer has any privileges of working with the government. And as if that weren't enough, Jarvis has just returned from jogging. Wait, that's not the important part. Jarvis has just returned from jogging and learned that Tyrak is attacking New York Harbor. How will the team help all those innocent people and still investigate the disappearances of their friends? Well, Iron Man has a stupid plan. Vision, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, Wonder Man, and Miss Marvel will head to the harbor to fight Tyrak. Okay, so far. Wasp and Yellowjacket make some phone calls. Perfect. Thor and Beast will hang out until they're needed? Wait, what? And Iron Man will go to the lab to work on the disappearances because turning some knobs and staring at test tubes ought to help. Thankfully, the rest of the issue chooses to focus on the group that might actually see some action. At New York Harbor, Tyrak is punching battleships and yelling about collecting the Avengers' heads. Ms. Marvel attempts to subdue him, but he punches her away. Hawkeye fires a sonic arrow, which only annoys Tyrak. Vision tries to reason with him, or sink him, or I don't know. But Tyrak manages to punch Vision into the ship Hawkeye and Wonder Man are standing on, and everyone goes into the water. While our heroes rescue each other, Tyrak throws a hissy fit on shore, tossing trucks at buildings and threatening to trash the city if he doesn't get his way. Eventually, the team realizes that if they work together, they can defeat this one guy. So they punch and zap him until he passes out. But what now? They can't contact the military to help, and Tyrak will die if he doesn't get back to water, so Wonder Man just tosses him back like an under-the-limit rainbow trout. And then, poof, Vision disappears. And then Black Panther reads some mail and gets a call from Wasp asking him to help out. And then Wasp and Yellowjacket dump a bunch of gossip on Iron Man as a way for Jim Shooter to throw more useless plot points at us. They got in touch with Hercules, Black Panther, and Whizzer. Captain Marvel called because he sensed they needed help. Beast got a mysterious call and took off in a Quinjet. And Thor took off to fight the living monolith. The team has been decimated. Almost as if someone were collecting them. To be continued.
Who would collect them?
Who would want to collect the Avengers?
I don't really understand.
Our roll call? Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Wasp, Yellowjacket, Beast, and Wonder Man are our Avengers. Ms. Marvel, Hawkeye, and Black Panther have speaking roles. Henry Peter Gyrick makes some noise. Our villain is Tyrak. And we get a glimpse of the shadowy figure who has kidnapped our heroes.
So, this issue, we already know is not going to be great because Selby Seam is penciling it with Klaus Janson inking. But we're going to soldier on the best we can.
There's a lot of ink on those pages. A lot of shadows.
I don't blame Henry Peter Gyrick for being frustrated that the door is left open.
Sure.
Not only is it bad for security, but Henry Peter Gyrick is wearing an overcoat and there's snow on the ground, which means what in the world was Hawkeye raised in a barn? It's got to be like, obviously below freezing outside, and he leaves the door wide open.
And he's not even wearing sleeves.
I know, right? Isn't Hawkeye cold? I made a point in my notes as well that they don't clean up Ultron's remains.
They leave him in a convent.
I'm sure that's not going to come back to bite them in the butt further on down the road. So, the Avengers lose their priority status, as you mentioned, and this is an interesting idea because we've never seen the Avengers having to play by the same rules as everybody else. They've always been special, and now they are no longer special, and I'm curious to see how this is going to play out. We see a little bit of it this issue.
Yeah, there's some interesting things that come into play here that you might not have thought of.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they can't fly a Quinjet out of their house anymore.
Yep.
Because of air traffic laws or something.
Wonder Man.
They'll have to take the bus downtown. It's going to be hilarious.
You're laughing. It's coming up.
Oh.
Korvac saga.
Well, that makes sense. Might as well slow it down even more.
Wonder Man is kind of gross. He says about Ms. Marvel, she doesn't just strike a pose and point like Wonder or the Wasp. She hauls off and belts people like a man would. Really, dude?
Is he implying that she's butchy?
Well, I think what's interesting is Wonder Man...
I mean, playing off the dichotomy that Wonder Man is scared to do anything because he's afraid he's going to die again.
I think what they're also playing off the fact is that Ms. Marvel is a very modern woman of the 1970s, whereas Wonder Man is from the 1960s, theoretically. He was dead for a decade, and so his attitudes have not evolved like some of the other Avengers have, and I think we'll be seeing that more and more. At the very end of the issue,
not sure why we brought Tyrak back of all.
Oh, help me! So the Scarlet Witch is no Ms. Marvel is fighting Tyrak, and she has got a plan to fight and defeat Tyrak. And Wonder Man jumps in her way because he's trying to protect her because she's a woman. And I'm wondering, is this another example of when Captain America did this to the Scarlet Witch? Are they trying to tell us something? Men should stay out of the way, which is fine. It's an interesting idea.
Well, Captain America was, you know, a man of the 30s and 40s too. So
it is true. But that's it. I got nothing else about this issue. I don't find it a very interesting issue.
Big fight scene.
With characters I don't care about.
We don't get to see Thor fight the living monolith. He must do that in his own title.
I'm sure. You have anything else?
I do not.
Stan Soapbox?
Stan Soapbox raises the question of, if you can't produce your current books on time, why do you keep making new books? And the answer is, it's all your fault, dear reader.
This is like the old Stan Soapbox where he blamed everything on the reader.
Really? Yeah.
And he still manages to sneak in some plugs.
Of course.
You gotta love them. And the rest of the Bulletin Bulletins is an obituary or a memorial for John...
A eulogy.
A eulogy for John Verporten, who was their production manager and died at the very young age of 37.
Yeah, I tried to look up and find out what happened to him and there's nothing online.
It's a shame. They had mentioned it.
He was a larger gentleman, so...
And they had mentioned him once or twice in the Bulletin Bulletins over the years.
Sure. Yeah, I read on one of Jim Shooter's columns. He's got a blog and he talked about Verputin and evidently John Verputin did a lot more at Marvel than people realize. He's the one that actually picked who worked on what book and made sure
people
got paid and... Yeah.
So... Letters?
Letters. No. A lot of people liked Annual Number 7. That's about it.
Yeah. I want to point out that Gerald Spiegel of Plainfield, New Jersey, is a teensy bit too upset about Warlock's death. He goes into a long, flowery...
Yeah, I didn't read that one because it said something about Warlock. Yeah, it was.
It was. He's talking like an American icon has been killed, and I'm like, it was Adam Warlock. First of all, fictional character. Second of all, Adam Warlock, not even an important fictional character.
Didn't even have an interesting costume.
I think you need to dial that down a little bit. MVP.
Vision.
I agree.
In big fight scenes, it's always Vision.
Useless character.
Beast is still. What's that, three in a row for me? I think Beast is...
I picked Wonder Man since he's just screwing everything up.
Beast didn't do anything. They made him wait back at the mansion with Thor, well, which was weird.
Avengers level threat?
No.
No. Final grade?
C. Average.
Yeah, I give it a C plus, but really it moves.
Of course you did. Moving on. Issue 173.
Yeah, we gotta get this. We gotta get moving. We've got two more issues to get through. Two more issues of excitement.
I have kids to pretend to raise when I get home.
This is Avengers 173, as you mentioned, July of 1978. It is called Threshold of Oblivion. It is written by Jim Shooter and David. Hold on, I always pronounce his name wrong. David Michelinie. David Michelinie. It's David Michelinie and Jim Shooter wrote it, penciled by Sal Buscema. You know the Avengers are in dire straits when Iron Man feels he needs to call in the Whizzer. But with members disappearing faster than the Oscar chances of Nate Parker's Birth of a Nation, topical reference,
nice.
Not only has the chairman of the team roped in the WW2 Speedster, but he's called in Captain Marvel and the Black Panther as well.
I thought you said WWE Speedster.
We also see that he's called on the Black Widow and Hercules, although their trip from Los Angeles is hampered by the loss of the Avengers' priority clearance, reducing them to traveling by, choke, commercial airlines and a taxi. But that's not all the lack of a security clearance has done. Iron Man wants some help to try and find his missing members, but no one will play with him. Both the US military and SHIELD refuse to help. Does this mean the Avengers will have to think for themselves? Let's put a pin in that while we check in with Korvac and his lady love Karina. She's draped over him like a gangster's mall, while he's suggesting that he is like unto a god now, and so the universe rightfully belongs to him. Just to make sure things are going okay, though, he needs the room, so if Karina could, you know, go powder her nose. She leaves the room to go and torture herself about divided loyalties. We get a sense that she has some sort of power and may have been sent to spy on Korvac, but she refuses to do so, saying that she loves him. For his part, Korvac is checking in on the powerful entities of the universe, making sure they're not aware of him or his plans, and while doing so, he gets a hint of Karina's power. He's all, "Why, you little..." But when he searches her face, he can find only love for him. Aww. So, back to our pin. What are the Avengers doing? Captain Marvel's going to fly around and see if his cosmic senses can pick anything up. The Black Widow and Hercules are going back to the airport to find their luggage. The Whizzer is reminding Iron Man that he's like 157 years old with a heart condition. And what were you thinking calling him in the first place? Hawkeye is trying to cheer up the Scarlet Witch, who's moping about the vanished Vision. Jarvis is whipping up a snack for Wonder Man. While Thor is claiming that ne'er before hath he seen the superhero who doth munch a sandwich in front of him. Wonder Man is confused, although not as confused as the readers, when the book again tries to remind us of the subplot about the old guy on the boat coming to America, now whittling a small wooden statue of the Scarlet Witch. Yeesh, no one cares. Some Avengers are actually trying to get some real work done, as Yellowjacket has been trying to nail down some information on the disappearances. Black Panther suggests they work with the Guardians, whose spaceship must have better equipment. But before Hank can act on that suggestion, both he and the Black Panther disappear. And seconds later, we find out that the Scarlet Witch and Wonder Man have also vanished. With the team getting smaller by the second, Iron Man takes T'Challa's suggestion and contacts Major Vance Astro aboard the Guardian spacecraft. Not only can Astro pinpoint where the energy is coming from that seems to be causing the disappearances, but as it's coming from an object orbiting the planet, he can teleport the remaining four Avengers, which, lest we get confused, is Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, Thor, and Wasp, right to it. Our four heroes pop in on the baddie, who has his kidnapped heroes trapped in those glass tubes which are all the rage among villains. The Avengers prepare to smite him when they're surprised to find out that their adversary is the Collector.
The Collector!
Never heard of him.
It's Donald Trump's desiccated grandfather.
Hopefully Jason can better describe him and jog my memory during his recap of the next issue, woo-hoo, because this is to be continued.
Yeah, it is.
Our roll call this issue at various times are Iron Man, Black Panther, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man, Thor, Yellowjacket, the Wasp, the Black Widow, and Hercules. We also see Nick Fury, Captain Marvel, Jarvis, and Vance Astro. And our villains are, I guess, Korvac and the Collector. All right, this is it. Jim Shooter is now listed as editor-in-chief.
Yep.
No longer just editor, which makes sense. You said last issue maybe he was just the editor of the Avengers. And maybe he is. Now there's... some Roger Stern as the editor of the book.
Yeah, whatever that is.
But Jim Shooter is the editor-in-chief. He'll continue to co-write the title for a long time, but starting now, he will often have a co-writer because, of course, editor-in-chief is going to take up a lot of his time. This is our first issue where we have seen David Michelinie. This is the first, he's only listed as D. Michelinie this issue, but we know it's David. Born on May 6th of 1948, he actually started his career writing for DC on House of Secrets and Swamp Thing, but he has written tons of things. Probably the best known are runs on Superman, Aquaman, the character Claw the Unconquered, which he co-created, House of Mystery, and...
Wait, did you say he's best known for these things?
Well,
I've never even heard of that. As soon as you got to Aquaman, I knew we were going downhill, so...
I included Claw the Unconquered because he co-created him. Also House of Mystery, The Unknown Soldier, and Star Wars. But I think he is best known probably for three titles, all Marvel titles. That's The Avengers, which he will co-write on and off for a couple of years. Spider-Man, which he worked on The Amazing Spider-Man for many years. And, of course, Iron Man, which he had a famous run on that with Bob Layton and John Romita Jr., I believe.
He did the Demon in a Bottle.
That was And Armor Wars was also them. So I like David Michelinie. I think he tends to be underrated. I think he's always a solid writer. You know, I would say he's always good.
So starting with this issue, he's going to be our writer now from here on out, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
forever. And may I say that these credits are some of the most confusing credits I've ever seen. They're
you can say that
they are oddly arranged. And obviously this was an issue that got done in a hurry because the finisher is credited as D Hands, which usually stands for like diverse hands. Basically, it means that they threw this at whoever was around and asked them to ink some pages. But this is the first time we've got an editor here and an assistant editor and an editor in chief. And I think it's the first time we've actually had, usually the books have had one editor. And now you can already see with Jim Shooter, he's not just the editor. He is the editor-in-chief and he is obviously...
He's putting a system in
place. He's putting some order to the chaos that was Marvel's editorials department.
Yep. He does get a lot of credit for that.
So...
Well, right from the beginning, I love how Wizard couldn't even be bothered to show up in his costume. Like, he knew. He's like, yeah, I'm here because you called me. I'm not doing anything.
No.
You mentioned Hercules and Black Widow are flying coach. I didn't notice it. Do they say what happened to their champion craft or the champs mobile or whatever that dumb thing was called? Are they just not allowed to fly it into the city? Was that...
I'm not sure why they're not in the champs craft. But I will say that I love the Black Widow because Hercules, she's like, we gotta go. Hercules is, of course, trying to get laid. And so she shoots him in the head with her widow sting, which I love because that's the Black Widow.
And then she says, come on, we need to get off this plane. And Hercules is like, well, I don't want to wait behind all these other passengers. Let's just rip a hole in the side of the plane.
Yeah, well, Hercules is an idiot.
And they say, we're going to have to pay for that. And then they go to try and get a helicopter to get to Avengers Mansion quicker. And the guy's like, I'm not allowed to fly you because of Avengers stuff. So Hercules picks up the helicopter and throws it.
And destroys it.
Good job, buddy.
Hercules is an idiot.
Hercules is really an idiot. There's a cultural reference in here, though, where the Hercules, I think it's in this issue.
It is. It's way farther down, but it's in this issue.
Where Hercules is walking down the street and a little kid sees him and says, hey, look, it's Steve Reeves.
Yep.
We mentioned Steve Reeves before when Hercules was around. He played Hercules in the movies. I had a note that said, hey, look, they snuck some Korvac saga in there as a reminder.
But it is nice that we're getting a little bit of the Korvac saga here.
Yeah, and then this starts to interweave with
the next issue. With the other plots.
Yeah.
We say that this had nothing to do with the Korvac saga, but these issues really do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more here. Well, there's Nikki in a tree watching Vance Astrovic.
In civvies. In like a tank top and
maybe
jeans.
Maybe she should have put a hat on so we wouldn't see her hair. Well, we'd find out if it was fire or just a color.
Well, she's in a tree with her hair on fire, so I'm guessing that it can't really be fire. That'd be great. They're like, Nikki, stop. No, not in the tree again. Aww.
You would think eventually that Vance's mom would notice the dude in the trench coat that keeps following his son around everywhere.
It would be great. The police would all be like the end of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where the police would roll up and start pulling the Guardians of the Galaxy and putting them in cars.
When Korvac starts looking in on the other cosmic entities to see if they've recognized him, is the Watcher sitting in his bedroom contemplating how the other kids made fun of him in gym class? It looks like he's sitting at the end of a bed with like his hand on the footboard, doesn't it?
It really does.
And there's like a picture on the wall behind him. Like he's all sad.
They all call me Baldy. Yeah, I don't know why he's such an odd character.
And then we get to meet, we don't get to meet, but he makes reference to Eternity.
He does?
And I thought it was curious that Eternity was a male. Judging by how long it takes my wife to get ready to go out somewhere, I would have sworn that Eternity was female. Zing!
Oh, I cannot get behind that joke.
That was my dad joke for the episode.
Tammy, I don't think your dad would say that. I love Tammy.
My dad's not that funny. My next note is there's a 3-page ad for Clark Bars.
There sure is.
Whatever happened to Clark Bars? Do they still exist?
Don't know if you can still buy Clark Bars or
I've
not.
I've never seen them anywhere anymore. Do they make Milk Duds?
And Zagnut. Can you still get a Zagnut?
Zagnut. I did not know there was a Clark Coconut. Kira, there's a 3-page ad in there. You can like order merchandise.
And a peanut butter log.
I don't know what any of this is.
They got your peanut butter log right here. I don't know.
They must have really invested in that ad campaign. They've got Marvel characters in it. It's like a whole merchandise tie-in. You can get a remote control spider car or a Batmobile. Why is that in there?
Well, yeah, because they say here, win a trip to Gotham, but they show only Marvel superheroes.
It's an odd mix, too. Why is Red Sonja in there?
Oh, yeah, I guess she's not really a Marvel superhero. And they all look so happy.
They really do.
Well, except for Red Sonja. And I guess you can't tell if Spider-Man's happy. I like the fact that Hawkeye apparently went out of his way to make a bouquet of flowers arrow.
Yep, that was my next note. When is he ever going to need that?
I would love it if he has it accidentally in his quill and he shoots that at Ultron.
And it's not even, like, it's fancy. Like, I don't understand how he makes these arrows that don't hit things. Well, he's firing an arrow, that thing has to be moving super fast, and then it explodes over Wanda's head, and it has a parachute with a bouquet of flowers on it. What is an intricate arrow?
Where were those flowers? Are they like, because the arrow is flat.
It's a tiny shaft, thin. Yeah.
Where would you put the flowers? And when they come out, they look all nice and fresh.
And the parachute. Where does all that go?
You could pack the parachute up, but I don't understand the flowers.
It's a whole bouquet.
They should be all smooshed and fall in the petalless.
That's like a bouquet wrapped up in paper and stuff too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird.
You went to a lot of trouble for that.
And then we get more of this stupid subplot with the guy in the boat. And they may as well have just reprinted the panels from the first time we saw him.
Yep. I wrote, uh-oh, that bearded guy on the ship is back. Beware the Whittler.
He's a Batman villain, isn't he?
The Whittler. Thor is back, but he doesn't know who Wonder Man is.
Which he should know that, even if he doesn't remember the times he fought with him recently. He was on the team when they fought Wonder Man back in issue 9.
I was completely confused by this scene. It almost made me think, wait, is this really Thor? Is it a fake Thor?
Well, the idea is, and well, we find out in your issue, in the next issue coming up, that Thor has basically been pulled from different periods of time to fight with the Avengers, because that's where they kept hinting at this plot of he kept popping in and out, and you know, but it was never really, this plot is, first of all, unnecessary, second of all, horribly stupid, and never set up well.
And your point is well taken, that even if he didn't recognize Wonder Man now, well, he might not have recognized Wonder Man back from issue number 9, because he was wearing a different costume.
He was wearing a different costume, but if you remember in issue number 9, Wonder Man joins the team and spends, I don't know, we can never tell, it's at least a couple of days, I don't know, perhaps like 6 years, hard to tell, with the team while they're trying to cure his blood ailment.
Yeah, but did Thor ever see him not in costume? Maybe he wouldn't recognize him.
He had to have been with him for at least a couple of days.
But that draws into question, how would this Thor recognize Jarvis? Jarvis wasn't around in issue number 9.
Well, I'm not saying this Thor came from issue number 9.
No, but you're saying if he didn't recognize Wonder Man, though, and you said he should know Wonder Man at least from so far back, but
yeah,
he doesn't know who Wonder Man is, but he knows who Jarvis is, who came in much later.
Well, we don't really know where this Thor is from. Again, this whole plot is unnecessary and stupid.
It's very strange and confusing because they don't have any explanation for it here. Those two pages right there is a whole mess of plots.
The biggest plot being, how did Hawkeye make that arrow?
Yes, that is the biggest one.
Most important, for sure.
That's all the notes I have.
Well, I have one. So Iron Man's got his team of Thor, Wasp, and Hawkeye, and they're going to go fight. Everyone else has vanished, and they're going to go fight the Collector. He doesn't know that the Black Widow and Hercules have vanished. The last time he saw them, they were going to get their luggage. Now, as we find out next issue, they had vanished, but maybe he should have called them first. Certainly, if you're going into an unknown area, you want to have the Hercules along for his strength, and the Black Widow along for her ability to threaten to kill somebody if she doesn't get her way.
But they weren't there at that moment.
I guess.
He needed to go right now, before the energy went away or something.
The Collector's ship, they're saying, is really small on the outside. So what is he? Is he in the TARDIS?
He is in the TARDIS, yes.
That seems unnecessary. It does make sense. He explains that he's only been grabbing a few Avengers at a time because he had to do it when Korvac wasn't paying attention. And he couldn't expend a lot of energy. And the reason he could get so many just recently in this issue is because Korvac was, you know, looking at eternity and not paying any attention.
I was checking out Mephisto.
So he took that time to grab as many as he could, but I thought it was nice that we at least got an explanation for that. And that's it. I got nothing else.
Alrighty.
Stan Soapbox?
Well, we already talked about Stan Soapbox. Stan Soapbox announces the change we've all been waiting for. Archie Goodwin has stepped down as editor-in-chief, replaced by Jim Shooter, who has reached the top of the Marvel hierarchy in only 2 short years. All the way to the top.
Well, ironically, I think it's because nobody else...
probably only like 17 at this point.
I think it's because no one else wanted the job.
Right. Or everyone else already had it.
Yeah. Anything else with bullpen bulletins?
Well, in other news, Mark Gruenwald has joined the bullpen as an assistant editor. He is one of our favorites.
And will be important coming up.
The Spider-Man and Hulk TV specials were so successful that they've spawned their own series.
And not just them. What other series is coming to your TV?
A Doctor Strange TV special is arriving soon.
And what else?
I actually have that one on DVD. Oh, I should watch it now that I saw the movie.
You should not.
I've had it on DVD for years. I've never watched it.
And what else?
The Submariner. No.
It's not happening. Wait, the Submariner. It says it's coming.
It's not happening. They got the actor. They put him in and he drowned.
It's horrible.
They're like, whoop, cancel that. Never mind.
It's horrible. I tried to find information on the Submariner TV series, and the closest thing I can figure out, and there's some evidence of this, that it basically morphed into Man from Atlantis.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guy that played Bobby Ewing was the name Patrick?
Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy. I remember watching that show when I was a kid and thinking, oh, that's weird. That guy's underwater.
Anything else?
Nope.
They do
mention... Oh, wait, yeah, I do. Roy Thomas has taken over writing chores on Thor, and he's reunited John Buscema and Tom Palmer on the art. Nice. That's like a whole Avengers thing there.
And they mentioned the debate over how you pronounce Magneto's name.
It's Magneto.
Which I always thought, Magneto just sounds silly, don't you think?
I remember when I first saw the name, I thought, what is that, Magneto? Like Cheerio?
Oh, let's have some Magneto's.
Magneto? That's weird. But Magneto, it's always called that, hasn't it?
I thought so. In the letters.
Wayne Jones of Ossining, New York wants to know what's up with Wonder Man's new costume. Marvel's answer is his old one got ruined. That was their whole answer. He also appreciated Nighthawk's appearance at the fashion show, which led me to wonder why exactly was Nighthawk at the fashion show? It was never explained, was it?
Nope. No point.
And it doesn't come back up in the Korvac saga at all?
Nope. No point. Really weird.
I guess they needed someone to help with the porcupine.
We also have 2 people write in to say how excited they are about the Guardians being in the book and how hopeful that we'll see a lot of them in this storyline. Boy, oh boy, those people are disappointed.
Well, I mean, to be honest, when we have seen the Korvac saga, the Guardians have been there.
MVP?
My MVP is Thor for not knowing who Wonder Man is.
I thought it was Black Panther. Who comes up with the best idea in the issue?
True.
And, very true to the Avengers spirit... Let's get someone else to do this for us.
That's very true as well.
Useless character?
The Wizard.
I said Iron Man for calling him the Wizard.
What? So there you go.
Were you going to put Jarvis in a costume? Maybe you could hire the Vulture to come give you a hand. Avengers level threat.
Porcupine's probably out of job, I know. No, not a threat.
Well, which one? The Collector's a threat.
Oh my god, you always say this.
He is.
And he always gets beat like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Well, they always... he only got beat like a Scooby-Doo villain once. And that was awesome.
Twice.
Once.
What about the time in the castle? The first time we saw the Collector.
He didn't get beat like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Did he run away on his own? Did he just escape? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
They didn't beat him, but I mentioned it in my write-up coming up, how every time the Collector shows up, it's the same pattern, but we'll get to that.
Final grade?
I gave it a C-. It's just a bunch of poorly sewn together bits.
Really?
Didn't like it. I said there were a bunch of poorly sewn together bits last issue, and I actually liked that one. So
I gave it a B+. I like it. I don't like the art, Sam Buscema.
Klaus Janson.
But I like seeing the characters, and I believe like we're finally, for the first time in a while, I feel like our plot lines are coming together. You know, we're putting the Korvac saga with the other things. We're beginning to get some resolution to why our Avengers disappearing and all that kind of stuff. Okay, you look really disturbing.
No, you're right.
So I like that.
Yeah, we're going to get right to that. We're sewing that all together this next issue.
All right. Let's do it.
Issue 174 from August of 1978. This one is by Bill Mantlow and Dave Wenzel. Who? Oh, my God. Is this a fill-in issue?
What is Bill Mantlow? But Jim Shooter is still credited as well for plot.
This one is... Do we want to talk about Dave Wenzel?
We can talk about... Do you want to talk about him now or after you do your thing?
Oh, no. Let's just get it out of the way.
Okay. Let's talk about Dave Wenzel.
I don't know anything about Dave Wenzel.
Dave Wenzel was born on November 22nd of 1950. He wanted to be an animator, but started out in comics. He started doing illustrations for children's books in the 80s. He does greeting cards and that kind of stuff. The only thing... He's not done very many mainstream comics. So, anyway, that's Dave Wenzel. You'll never see him again. He really doesn't do much in the way of mainstream comics.
Doesn't he have a chain of pretzel restaurants? Wenzel's Pretzels?
Wenzel's Pretzels?
Wenzel's Pretzels.
What about Bill Mantlow?
We already talked about Bill Mantlow.
This is his first time. We never really talked to him. This is his first Avengers issue. We've mentioned him, but this is the first time he's written the book.
No.
Yes.
What did he do before? Was he the inker or the colorer or something? No. The letterer, he was something. We've talked about him like 3 times.
We talk about him because he keeps coming up and we keep making... But we've never really talked about him. November 9th, 1951, started as a production assistant at Marvel and became the fill-in king for the company. He's written almost every title Marvel's published, but he has real runs on Alpha Flight, The Champions, Cloak and Dagger, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, The Human Fly, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, The Micronauts, Spider-Man... And of course,
Jack of Hearts.
His crowning achievement, every single issue of ROM Space Knight. And in 1992, he was hit by a car while rollerblading, hit and run, and he's got severe brain damage now.
Yep.
Very sad story.
Yeah, you can look up, there's a fund for him online. I think his brother runs to help him with his healthcare costs.
And he is your favorite writer.
He is one of my favorite Marvel 1970s writers.
That's
because he
cool.
does some wacky plots. And he introduces a lot of weird villains. You know how I am with villains.
So... Tell us about this issue, Jason.
This issue is titled Captives of the Collector.
The who?
The Collector! Oh my god, guys, it's really him. That greasy Arby's bag filled with cigarette butts. That moving sculpture made of dried leaves and fruit-striped gum. That demonic milkshake churned too thick with cottage cheese and battery acid. That breathing lifetime supply of adult diapers. That sentient jockstrap. That burlap sack of rabid earthworms masquerading as my 8-packs-a-day great Aunt Bernice. Yes, if you were to take everything good and crazy about Marvel Comics in the 70s and condense it down to one single issue, it would be an Avengers battle against the Collector written by Bill Mantlo. This is my holy grail. We pick up where we left off with Iron Man, Hawkeye, Thor, and Wasp teleporting into the Collector's TARDIS for a showdown. This unfolds like every other Collector issue has to date. He throws various creatures and gadgets at the heroes that they are forced to deal with. When tides turn against him, the wheezing Raisin tries to run and hide, only to be cornered and somewhat defeated. The first 21 pages of this issue are that fight scene. Let me give you some highlights. The talking space tumbleweed zaps Iron Man with his... Zaps Iron Man with his Vandarian power wand. That sounds kinky. He traps Thor's hammer in an energy creature of Urdile. The Collector tricks Iron Man into flying through his biogram image and crashing into some machinery. He uses a child's toy from the planet Durgos to shoot pellets at Iron Man that freeze his armor's joints. The possessed Haggis knocks Thor out with a blast from his positron cannon. And then Wasp calls Collector a despicable old fossil. She really needs to work on her insult game.
When do we get the highlights?
Yeah. After taking down Iron Man, Thor, and Wasp, the deck is clear for Hawkeye to irritate the villain with a clamp arrow and a Ebola arrow. Not Ebola. The Collector takes off running. Hawkeye finally corners him and, well, I don't know what Hawkeye was thinking. Was he going to joke him to death? Maybe show him some tricks until he got bored and fell asleep? Yeah, the Collector uses some of his power cosmic to try to murder Hawkeye, who gets off one more shot that stuns Collector enough for everyone else to recover. Surrounded by a multitude of angry heroes, Collector gives a sigh and agrees to recite his history. He and his relatives, the Elders of the Universe, have been around since the dawn of creation. He's a bit of a soothsayer and saw the rise of Thanos, but Thanos was defeated. He then sensed the rise of some other cosmic force and sent his daughter down to Earth as a spy. Great parenting. Speaking of Earth, Michael Korvac is still staring at his wife, who reveals herself to be that spy mentioned above. When Korvac hears the truth, he fires a force beam into space that obliterates the Collector before he can reveal Korvac's name. That was convenient. And now I'm sad, because I'm sure that Crispy Cabbage Patch doll will never be seen again.
Oh no.
The end of the Collector, not the storyline. Sadly, still. Roll call. I'm not even sure who's officially on the team at this point, so I'm just going to list all the heroes in order of appearance. Iron Man, Hawkeye, Thor, Wasp, Yellowjacket, Captain Marvel, Jocasta, Moondragon, Black Panther, Quicksilver, Two-Gun Kid, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Hercules, Black Widow, Captain America, and Wonder Man. We also see Carina Walters. Our villain is her dad, the collapsed vomit souffle known as the Collector, with a little bit of Korvac thrown in for a tangy, unpleasant aftertaste.
All right, so I have problems with this entire concept.
Of what, the Collector?
Yes. If the Collector wants a complete collection of Avengers, why did he take the Two-Gun Kid? Not an Avenger... Never an Avenger. Won't be an Avenger. No.
He's an honorary Avenger. Moondragon. Where's Hellcat? He didn't take her.
Where's Hellcat? Where's the Beast? Where's the Hulk? Where are other people that are Avengers?
Where is the Beast? Thor went off to fight the living monolith and Thor's there. Well, Thor was there anyway. Wait, why is Thor there? Oh, wait, that's right. Thor came back.
So
Thor came back after beating the monolith to yell at Wonder Man for not knowing who he was.
I have issues with the Collector. I don't think he's very good at his job.
Well, he's had eternity to do it, so he's probably gotten a bit sloppy.
I have no real comments on the actual fight themselves, though I believe this is the first time we've seen the Collector even mention that he has power cosmic. In the past, he's usually just, you know, toss gadgets at them, right?
Yep.
So this is the... So we're getting... We do get a lot of information at the end of this issue about the Collector. This is the first time we've seen his origin. This is the first time we've got a hint that he's related to the Grandmaster somehow. And I think that this is the first time we've really even heard of the Elders of the Universe.
In the Avengers comics.
I think the first time anywhere.
No. In that annual with Warlock, Adam Warlock in it, he talked about the Infinity Stones, and he mentioned that the Gardener had dropped one on the moon. We know the Gardener is one of the Elders of the Universe as well. And I'm not sure, is the Stranger considered one of the Elders of the Universe?
No.
I'm surprised that Shooter missed an opportunity to bring him into the fold.
So I guess it is the first time we've at least heard about it in the Avengers, that there's this group of beings that are very, very old. And why isn't the wizard one? That are very, very old, cosmic-level beings. I also think this is the only time we ever hear that the Collector can see the future. I don't think that comes up again after this.
Everybody all of a sudden can see the future. Right? Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel. And...
I mean, of course it doesn't come up again after this, because he's dead.
Never to be seen again.
Never. He's as dead as Ultron. Both of them,
gone.
On the scrap heap. I got nothing else about this issue.
I ran out of jokes about the Collector, even.
What about the soapbox of Stan?
Stan's soapbox must have run out of things to talk about, because he's asking readers to send in questions.
I thought it was funny, because he was all like,
From now on, we're just going to talk about important things. I have nothing to talk about.
I can't write these things myself. Anything on the bullpen bulletins?
My only note was that Marv Wolfman wrote an amazing Spider-Man novel.
So, we find out that Marvel's putting out the Beatles story.
Yeah, what does that have to do with the Avengers?
It's 8 or 9 years after the group broke up, which I thought seemed a little, you know, Marvel right on top of the trends.
The Beatles are actually Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
And we get told in this issue how you say David Michelinie's name.
Yes, that's how I knew it.
Michelinie.
Like pickle my knee.
Yes. And what about letters?
Tim Kretzer of Cerrado, West Virginia, sees the writing on the wall and knows that there will be a lineup change coming soon. He heaps praises upon Jim Shooter for giving everyone some sort of subplot and characterization, but admits that the field is too crowded now. Yeah, we mentioned this, an issue or two ago that we knew.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're bringing everyone in here.
Yeah, we will get a lineup of it. He says lineup change. We don't really have a lineup at the moment.
There will be a quickening.
Joseph Iana Cohn of Philadelphia thinks the Space Phantom took the Two-Gun Kid. Obviously very wrong, and also I'm not sure he understands how the Space Phantom's power works.
Right.
Because then you'd still have a Two-Gun Kid, it would just be the Space Phantom.
Right, Hawkeye would have been sitting on the train with the Space Phantom.
Going, yeah. What? Anywho, MVP?
My MVP is Hawkeye, I guess.
Yeah. He wins the day, and he's good at this, at being the last Avenger standing.
And running around, see it more than being once. Chased or chasing.
Useless character?
Thor. I mean, he's Thor, and he got knocked out.
I'd pick the Wasp, and I don't think it's... She's being written like an idiot, this issue. She is useless, and she should be better, and I cannot wait until we get to, you know, issues 216, 220, where she gets a chance to be a real character.
To be fair to the Wasp, she was the last one taken out. Thor and Iron Man were both beaten
before she was. Yeah, but she doesn't do anything. She's not taken out because she's not a threat. She's just flitting around.
She tried to zap him in the face like she always does.
Avengers level threat?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, of course he is. He's an Elder of the Universe.
I don't care.
He's incredibly powerful. So
he is Mr. Wilson, the Undertaker. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
If they pulled the Collector's face off on some issue and he was, you know, Jarvis.
The Wizard.
Yeah, the Wizard. I would be so happy. But final grade.
His face does look like a mask.
It does, doesn't it?
I gave it a B. Did I mention the Collector was in this one?
Yeah. In a wildly surprising turn, I gave it a C, lower than you.
What?
Because it's crap. David Wenzel's art's actually not bad. I prefer it over Sal Buscema's, but I miss either Perez or Byrne. Could I have one of them back?
The art did not interrupt my reading of the story, so that's something, I guess.
And the plot is fine, but after the last few jam-packed issues, I feel like this issue nothing happens.
There's no weird asides.
It's like that. We're done. And I have this problem with Mantlo. I've always had this problem with Bill Mantlo. I find his dialogue to be thunderingly mediocre. Like, he has, in my opinion, no offense, has no flair for dialogue. And this is a Bill Mantlo comic, in my opinion. It feels very comic booky.
That's what Bill Mantlo did.
It is.
Comic booky comic books.
It's true.
So that's it for episode 76. On our next episode, we finally reach the end of the Korvac saga. And this time, we mean it.
We sure do.
Don't do that. Don't give me that look.
I don't know what look to give you. Jason.
Yes, sir.
If I wanted to get in touch with us, how would I do it?
Well, if you're a fan of social media, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram.
What if I don't like social media?
You could send us an email, mail@avengingarrow.com.
What if I want to call you? What's your number again?
If you know who I actually am, you can probably find my Facebook page, and I'm sure my cell phone number's on there somewhere.
Really?
Probably.
I'm going to have to look.
Great.
I know who you are.
Oh.
So, that's it for this episode. I apologize. I'm not my normal sparkling self. I'm a little under the weather today, so.
Yeah, and I'm tired. I'm going home.
Wait, don't I live here? No, you're like Thor. You have a place outside the mansion.
Yes, I am so like Thor.
I'm like Jarvis. I live at the mansion you clean up when you go home.
You're going to change out of your suit into your sweater and...
I'm going to go jogging.
And toast our statues with a scotch.
I am. I'm going to take my tie off now that we're done.
Awesome.
This is why I always do this. I always do this podcast in a tuxedo.
Oh, that's why?
That's why I always
wondered.
Why I always wear tails.
I should probably stop wearing these flippers. So overdressed all the time.
Yeah. You dress like the Beast when his robe.
Yes, and I'm that hairy too.
Well, this is fun.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.